listening to Humanitarian Radio with your hosts, Tony St. Tone and Janie Beauclair.
Good afternoon and welcome to this edition of Humanitarian Radio. I am host Janie Beauclair.
And I'm Tony St. Tone.
And we, if you are joining us for the first time, we're a feel-good show shouting out some good news from around the world. And you can expect some great positive music by St. Tone today and some innovative guests each week. And also what's going on around the United States on our events calendar.
So today we have two really great guests. We have Ricky Bird of the band Joan Jett and the Blackhearts. And they're being inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame this summer. Ricky has a foundation called Clean Getaway where he uses his all-star band and music to help people with their sobriety. And then we have Chelsea Hill from Walk and Roll Foundation, and she's going to talk about her inspirational story and how she put together her wheelchair dance team. Really great stuff. So it's time for some good news from around the world.
Here is an amazing story coming to us today from the Netherlands. There is a retirement home who had all kinds of extra rooms. So they came up with this idea to give free housing for student volunteers in exchange for the students spending 30 hours a week with the seniors.
That is awesome.
Isn't that an amazing program? So they'll give you a place to live, and what you need to do in exchange is participate in a number of activities with the residents. They include things like celebrating birthdays and just basic senior companionship. Basically, there are five different locations in the Netherlands that have started this, and they're saying that it's whoppingly successful. And what a really cool idea, because you always hear that seniors have so much to give to young adults.
Absolutely, and that's the whole thing, is like they're giving their thoughts and everything, their education, if you will, to these younger kids. And these young kids have so much more to learn from adults, senior citizens.
Yeah, and the younger kids are teaching the adults things like how to work a computer.
Awesome. Set up a Facebook or emails.
What a brilliant, brilliant program. So I congratulate people in the Netherlands. What a really smart idea. And let's hope something like that starts spreading around here, because it's a great way to help out people who are, you know, in need of a place to live and don't have money.
Yeah,
and
because there's a lot of kids that end up homeless out here, especially like in L.A.
Yeah.
So that would be a great thing to give them a place to live, but also a chance to get an education, if you will.
Yeah, get and give both. So, bravo. So here's another really awesome story. There is a trend going on. This one particularly is in Portland, Oregon. Over the last 8 months, they have erected positive billboards all over town in an effort to encourage positive thinking in their town.
How cool is that?
Okay, so here are some of the expressions that are all over town. You are enough. Be beautiful, as in Y-O-U is capitalized.
Be beautiful.
Be
nice.
Beautiful.
Okay.
Hug someone today. Something wonderful is about to happen. We believe in you. Smile. And you are so freaking awesome.
Well, now, are they saying who is putting the money up to put these ads up? Or is it
something? Yeah, it's a grant from a group called Awesome Portland. There's a team in Vancouver, Washington that actually started this whole idea, and they're called the Joy Team of Vancouver. Their mission is to encourage positive thinking. So they have learned that by putting all these great inspirational billboards all over town, that they're changing the thought pattern of the people in town.
I think that is just a great, great thing. And you know, there's enough billboards out there that, you know, obviously if someone had the money to do that, but it's those little things that, especially if you're on the highway or driving or just little quotes like that, that just make you think and go, you are beautiful.
They decided to create, their mission was to create a community by spreading joy, optimism, and inspiration. So they gave happy packets out all over town with great expressions in them, like enjoy your day and things like that, to get people to start really thinking on a happy level. Be happy today. Enjoy your day. This one says enjoy the moment. And there's a photograph of two elderly people that look like they're late 70s, early 80s, that are taking a picture in front of the enjoy the moment billboard.
Right.
How cool is that?
And you know what you find is that when you start talking to people that are older, they say lessons that they've learned is enjoy the moment. Enjoy the time that you have right now. Take time to breathe and take time to live life. You know?
Good advice.
Yeah. That's great.
Here are some events that may be happening in your area. Check out Events Calendar on humanitarianradio.com.
So April 18th is Earth Day, and you should just take a look around your local newspaper and your local listings because there's so many events going on, and I really think everyone should participate in that. Also on April 18th, Broadchester Farm in downtown L.A. are doing another cleanup.
Yeah, what a great idea. They're taking an old abandoned lot that's literally been abandoned for years, and they're creating a community farm out of it. And if you want to sign up for a really great retreat on April 24th to 26th, don't forget to check out Therese Hartman's Allowing True Love Retreat in Sedona, Arizona.
And last but not least, on April 27th through the 30th, it's a Monday through Thursday, we have Imagination IQ. And you can learn more about all these great events that are going on. Go to humanitarianradio.com and click on the events page. From there, you'll learn more about it, and we'll also give you links to the actual page where you can find out everything you need to know.
Yes, and if you have an event that you'd like us to broadcast, feel free to reach out to us on humanitarianradio.com or our Facebook.
Hey, it's time for our positive quote of the day. Today's quote comes from Stephen Richards, author of Think Your Way to Success, Let Your Dreams Run Free.
You are essentially who you create yourself to be, and all that occurs in your life is the result of your very own making.
That's a pretty strong, powerful statement.
It is. Think about that. You are essentially who you create yourself to be. And all that occurs in your life is the result of your very own making.
Yeah. Well, what that means is you have to throw away the victim card.
Yes.
And take responsibility for the situations that you're possibly in.
Yeah, because whatever happens in your life is completely up to you. Take charge. Take control. Do what you want to do. Be who you want to be.
Amen. And if something does happen to you, then you have the ability to get your way out of it.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Cool. Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Stephen Richards.
Like it. So we're going to take a very short break and come right back with Ricky Bird from the band Joan Jett and the Blackhearts. And also later on, we have Chelsea Hill. Stay tuned.
USALuxuryDirect.com. 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 Top name brands from around the world. Sold at discounted prices. Hundreds of items to choose from. Put Humanitarian Radio in the coupon zone for a 10% discount at USALuxuryDirect.com.
I'm living here in a state of abundance. I'm counting blessings that I never saw before. Cause I'm the ruler of this kingdom I call me.
Positive affirmations wrapped in pop rock songs.
Give me that best case scenario.
It's motivational musician Saint Tone. Check out his latest live show, The Rise Up Experience, at www.sainttone.com.
Mama said we can always hug it out.
Pick up his latest CD, Outside the Box, available on iTunes. For music with a positive message, check out sainttone.com.
And so we are back, and we are so honored to have with us today Mr. Ricky Bird, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductee. Hi, Ricky. How are you?
Hi, darling. I'm doing good. How are you?
We are so happy to have you. I know you're part of Joan Jett and the Blackhearts.
Yeah, I played with Joni from 81 to 93, so that is the band that's being inducted into the Rock Hall on April 18th.
What an exciting thing for you to be part of that whole process.
Oh, my God. You're kidding me.
Are you dying?
I'm a New York guy. I grew up in the Bronx, and I play the Rock Hall pretty much every year as part of, like, an all-star super group, and we do a big charity thing every year.
Mm-hmm.
So I always walk through it myself to see what they've added, and they have like Sam Cooke's tuxedo and Chuck Berry's guitar and Muddy Waters' guitar and Aerosmith and on and on and on, and now our stuff's gonna be in there.
Now, what are they gonna have of yours? Do you know?
Yeah, they came. They've already taken. I gave them my first guitar, which was actually given to me when I was 9 years old. And wow. After I saw the Stones on the Ed Sullivan Show and asked for a guitar. And it was actually trashed pretty well in Hurricane Sandy, but to me it makes it look a little bit...
loved.
It looks like Pete Townsend got a hold of it.
There you go.
And I gave him my leather jacket and my leather pants from those tours and, I don't know, my original pair of Doc Martens and
a bunch of cool stuff.
Very
cool. That's very exciting. Yeah. So you were telling me that you're going to have to do a little speech of some sort, and I would imagine that that is a little bit nerve-wracking of figuring out what's the perfect thing to say at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
I'm not shy. I don't have any fear factors, but, you know, the thing you know about watching these events, whether it's that or the Grammys or whatever.
Yeah.
First of all, I've been to one Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction. I happened to be out there. We were actually, this all-star band was hired to play the big fancy party the night before. And we're all members of band people, you know, we're all band members from, like, 38 Special and Billy Joel's band and, you know, all Guns N' Roses, you know, and we're an all-star band. So we played this cool party the night before, and we got to stay and watch it. And the event is so long. It's like 4 hours, man. And,
oh, my.
You know, you see it on HBO, it's down to an hour and a half. So what I've learned and what I was just told is, I'm supposed to have really like a minute and a half, but you know, people just go on and on, and they cut it anyway. So the learning process is just thank the people that you got to thank right at the top, and then leave the funny stuff for the end of the speech.
Yeah, so you got to get the thanks, mom and dad, and all that stuff out first.
All,
otherwise,
because
if they cut that out, then you're screwed.
I'm screwed. Because this ain't gonna be happening again.
Yeah, and you know, it's really an honor, and I've been to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame several times, and I'm sure that you experienced what I experienced walking through there going, wow, am I ever going to be in here? What a cool thing that would be, you know, and now you're getting to be in there.
Yeah, I think that's actually too big to even think about, but we've been nominated 3 times, and every time we're getting in, so it was always in the back of my head, but... And I thought maybe it was going to happen, but once they actually said, congratulations, you're going, it's like, oh my God.
Wow. Very exciting. Now, you have another story that I want to tell everybody about because it's incredibly impressive, and that's a 28-year story.
Yeah, so I'm pretty much like VH1 Behind the Music.
Yeah, I love
stereotype.
It.
I'm sober almost 28 years. I got clean and sober in September 25th, 87. And,
which I gotta say is
a rock and roll mess like a bunch of other people.
But you know, that is a really challenging thing to do, get clean and sober while you're still in the music industry. I mean, that is a really, really challenging thing to do.
Thank God it's only a day at a time.
Yeah, right? Right?
That's why they put that little kind of, you know, add on to everything, a day at a time. It really, really makes it easier. But yeah, I do a lot of work in recovery. I'm always trying to. I mean, honestly, if it went any way like my childhood went, I looked up to a lot of people in all forms of creative endeavors, whether it's comedy, actors and actresses, music, you know, writers like Dorothy Parker. Every single person I looked up to when I was a kid was either a drug addict or an alcoholic. So you know, Dorothy Parker from the 40s.
Yeah.
You know, she was like a drunk and a pillhead, and actually, I think she died from pills. But,
right.
Even Errol Flynn, the actor, you know, best looking actor out there, movie star, he died at a pretty early age, you know, from alcoholism and all other kinds of things. So, you know, when I was a kid reading these magazines, you know, you'd see Jimmy Page, and, you know, you'd read all these stories. You know, Keith Richards, this one and that one.
Right.
And as a kid, you kind of like wind up following that path. Now, not everybody is an alcoholic and an addict. So once you open that can of worms, and if you're already predispositioned to have that disease, you're off to the races. So now that I'm sober a long time, I do know that I get emails here and there from people that say, you know, I was the reason they picked up their guitar for the first time, and just like I did when I was a kid, you know, looking at other people. And I'm sure I might have been a bad influence on a couple of people, so I'm just trying to earn my cheap seats in heaven back, you know?
You're trying to earn your wings back?
Yeah, I'm trying to get my wings. And part of sobriety is service, so I try to give back and help other alcoholics and addicts. And I go to detoxes. I work with a place called Sunrise Detox, and they have probably half a dozen detoxes and counseling centers, and they're starting to spread out around the country. So I go and I lead music groups, you know, and I have written probably a dozen songs or more that are they're pretty much reflective of my sobriety and my recovery, and they talk about addiction and you know, really well written songs, not kind of goofy or trite, just really, really good songs. So I play them, I tell my story. There's the heroin and prescription drug epidemic in America right now is the worst it's ever been in the history of America,
which is amazing, and definitely shows a sign of the times, doesn't it?
There's like addicts and alcoholics, young addicts and alcoholics, dropping, ODing every day.
You know, I was watching
it. It's really heartbreaking.
I was watching a program last night. It was a Diane Sawyer special, and it was a program on women are the number one group going into prisons these days, and young women. Wow. And most of the young women are from age 17 to 30, and mainly from either robbing or something to get heroin.
That's, yeah, so basically I play to these people every week, twice a week. I go out to way out in New Jersey and lead these groups, and it's all regular people, you know.
Yeah.
Like your kids and your
your neighbors.
It's not the stereotype, you know, junkies. These are your neighbors and your neighbors' kids and your cousins. And they start out on prescription drugs. And it's, you know, like that's the whole thing to get into about how it starts at the top with politics and pharmaceutical companies and bad laws being passed and unscrupulous doctors that are writing script after script for cash.
Right, right.
Under the table. And these kids go in, you know, so. For some people, it's maybe, I mean, you see the commercials on TV. My kid was like a star football player in junior high school and high school. He went in for an injury, and he was given OxyContin, and he was addicted in like a week, and then he went on to heroin, and now he's dead.
Yeah, and that's the youngest person on death row is a female. She's 18 years old, and that was exactly her story. She was like the star of the school. She was the head cheerleader. She was the head this and that. And had hurt herself, got a prescription, and from there was into heroin and ended up with 3 attempted murders.
Right. So there's like a whole different...
Yeah.
You know, there's a whole bunch of reasons why people wind up... I mean, the deal is this. Like, not everybody's an addict and an alcoholic, but some people... First of all, why they're giving out that kind of medication for like a banged-up knee is beyond me, but...
Yeah. Crazy.
You know, and who knows if it has to do with politics and lobbyists and drug companies.
Right.
Pushing that kind of stuff, because these people make billions of dollars off of other people's misery. I mean, obviously, science and medicine is great when used correctly, but there's a lot of stuff going on that's not
totally
right.
That's behind the scenes, if you will.
Yeah, and it doesn't change until a senator's kid dies. And that's when that's when all of a sudden they start getting... they jump on the bandwagon and start doing, they start trying to pass laws.
So tell me about your Get Clean program.
Well, it's called Clean Getaway.
Okay.
Escapes through the music. And mm-hmm. I put together, we have a website, clean-getaway.com, mm-hmm. which we're just getting up and running. I mean, I've been doing it for about 6 years with various people in different companies, but now I started this. With a guy named Joe Horrocks that works at Sunrise Detox. And mainly, we have two versions. We have the unplugged version, which is acoustic. And that's really, it's like what I do in the detoxes and treatment centers. I come in and play. We have an all-star band. If you go on the website, you see we have like a core group. We have like Liberty DeVito from Billy Joel's band. And, mm-hmm. Mark Stein from Vanilla Fudge, and Chasm Sultan, who played with Todd Rundgren, and he played with me in Joan's band,
nice.
And the Blackhearts, and Richie Supa, who is, we used to actually use together, but he got sober a couple of years after me. He was, he's a very famous songwriter. He co-wrote the song Amazing for Aerosmith, with Aerosmith.
Okay.
Steven, and the song Pink, and, you know, 100 other songs, you know, from everybody from Tom Jones to Johnny Winter to everybody. But he is a really big, sober guy in Florida, the plantation, Fort Lauderdale area.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a treatment center down there. It's all based around music. Called Recovery Unplugged. So that's what he does. I do this kind of stuff up here in New York, but we come together for Clean Getaway. And that's like the core group. There's a girl named Christine Ullman who's the lead singer for the Saturday Night Live Orchestra.
Right.
And we're just like we're a slamming ass rock and roll.
I'd like to see you guys in concert.
Yeah, a soul band. You know, we're a rock and roll soul band. So basically, we try to show people that you can, you know, be a slamming rock and roll band and still be clean and sober. I mean, not everybody in the band is officially sober like I am.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, you're either sober or you support sobriety. I mean, nobody drinks or gets high, but not everybody's in recovery the way I am officially.
Right, I follow.
So, and then I have a whole list of people that are based on availability, depending on budgets and this and that, and that's on the website too. And then now, what I'm going to do, now that I'm going to be in the Rock Hall, I get to hit up all my famous rock.
Yeah, get a little edge.
And here's the deal. I mean, what we're going to do is, the one thing that I keep coming across is people have no insurance or they have lousy insurance. And they come to detox to clean up and they don't have insurance to get into treatment. And really, if you're an addict and an alcoholic, detox is not going to do it.
Yeah.
A detox just cleans you up.
That's just step one.
Yeah, you need tools to live life on life terms, and that's where you start getting them in treatment. So we're going to raise money for scholarships. Kind of like buying beds in treatment centers, and so we could actually give them out to people, because people cry to me, they're desperate, these young 2-year-old girl or a guy, and they're like, I have no insurance, I'm going to die if I keep using, and they can't go into treatment.
They're stuck.
Because they just, yeah, so we're going to try to raise some dough, and then part of it's going to go to the drug awareness, and then part of it is going to, I really feel strongly about Wounded Warriors coming back. You know, they're horribly addicted.
Right.
And that's it, man. That's what I'm doing. I mean, I have my own regular music solo career, and I put a great record out 2 years ago and got a lot of airplay on Little Steven's Underground Garage. I got great reviews. The music business is in a shambles now. It's really hard to make a living out of it.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, my work, if you read what I write on clean-getaway.com, you'll see why I do this, and I get the most enjoyment out of this, and I still get to play rock and roll, but I'm hoping to change some lives too, maybe save a couple of lives along the way. And
absolutely.
That's a lot more rewarding.
It's rock and roll with a purpose now.
Yeah, and it's still greasy rock and roll. It's just that the unplugged stuff is, I mean, I sing these songs. There's one song on that website, on the homepage, that's up on YouTube called Broken is a Place. And the theme of it is Broken is a Place I've Already Been. And I turn around and I see them weeping. It's like, I'm glad as a songwriter, you know, my job as a songwriter is to make people laugh, cry, or think.
Create emotion, right.
Yeah, and in recovery, these people come in so, with such a wall up, and to see them crying is such a great first step. And I tell them, dude, don't be embarrassed, man. You're feeling. You're supposed to be feeling.
And that's what they've been trying to cover up forever by taking everything that they've been taking.
Exactly. That's why people use drugs, is because they don't want to live life on life's terms. They don't
want
to feel.
Yep.
So I'm really proud of it, and we're getting great response from the counselors tell me how wonderful the patients wait for me to come there and do this, and I really think that we hit on something. I mean, I already know that music soothes the savage beast, as they say, but also, like, if I play a love song, I see a girl start crying in front of me. I mean, that's what a song does. Yeah. Well, it just seems like a no-brainer that if you write songs with honest lyrics about addiction and recovery, you're going to get the same response, and that's what's happening. So we're going to wind up, it's just up and running, the website's just up. We have great merch in the store, but I'm trying to get the PayPal thing working out.
What do you guys need, Ricky? Do you need backing? Do you need donations? What could help you to get this program working in a better method for you?
Well, we could use, I mean, backing would be terrific, because some of these places that we want to play don't have a budget. So this is really how it works.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say we do a concert, right?
Okay.
And let's say it's the Unplugged and the All Star Band.
Okay.
So we, the musicians, get paid, because that's what we do for a living.
Exactly.
So how does that work? Well, we get sponsorship. So it's either from treatment centers or detoxes, it could be from this local sandwich shop, or so anybody that
whoever
wants their name attached to it. So that little pile of money goes to pay the band expenses,
mm-hmm,
for putting on the show. And then all the money that is collected from the show goes to this fund where we will put together these scholarships.
Beautiful, beautiful.
And that's basically how it works. So, I mean, frankly, anybody that wants to put on a recovery show and wants me to help steer yourself, I mean, we're in the spring now, in the summer, or any famous musicians out there. I mean, there's a million recovery musicians, but I need people with a name, because that's how we're going to raise money.
How do you feel about coming out to L.A.?
We would do it in a heartbeat. It's all about being able to get somebody to pay for
sponsored
it.
Sponsored out.
I will get the musicians. I will get, I know people out there that, you know,
mm-hmm,
here's the deal. Here's where it's tricky. Some people, I am not anonymous, because I feel that I could actually help.
Right.
I will not tell you what meetings I go to, because that's part of the traditions of the programs that I follow.
Mm-hmm.
But I am in long-term recovery, and it's my business if I want to talk about that.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of famous musicians that I know that are sober but don't want to talk about
it. Sure.
There are ones that are proud as punch, and you see they come out. I mean, Ace Frehley was on the Rock, you know, they got the, mm-hmm, award. He was talking about his sponsor and this and that. And you know, there are people.
Steven Tyler.
Joe Walsh wrote One Day at a Time for his last record.
Right.
I mean, some of us are so proud to be sober, and we feel that we could actually help somebody.
Yeah.
I could tell you one thing. I will not mention it in my speech at the Rock Hall, but I will be wearing my 27-year coin around my neck, so anybody,
beautiful,
that knows will see this big thing.
Beautiful.
And that's it. So anybody that wants a concert by musicians you probably grew up listening to, and you want to try to raise some money for a really great cause, and I'm telling you right now, this problem is going to get worse in the next couple of years. It's just growing.
The trend. It's the path of what's happening.
Let me tell you something. Honestly, the way it works is your kid or your cousin or your nephew gets hooked on prescription drugs, whether it's innocently enough for peer pressure in the schoolyard or whatever. The price of the drugs becomes too expensive for them, and their local neighborhood dope dealer is selling them bags of heroin for $4. I know when I was a kid, heroin was the line in the sand. I mean, by the time I finished getting high at 31 years old, I started when I was 13, I was on everything, really. But, you know,
yeah.
I mean, heroin was something that you saw in movies when I was a kid. And you know, we're just trying to do the right thing, man, and we're going to do a record. If there's any record companies out there that wants to back a recovery record, I know for a fact, you know, business-wise, it's a really huge,
sure,
market. I mean, look, it's reality, right?
So, Ricky, I wanted to ask you, because I know you have a young daughter, what do you think your influence in your recovery and what you're doing to promote other people's recovery, what kind of effect do you think that's having on her?
Well, here's the deal. Like, I know kids do what kids do, because I was a kid too.
Right.
But all I could do is be a good role model, as far as she knows that I go to, you know, I disappear for an hour and go to these places where I get help, you know,
mm-hmm, yeah,
without calling them a meeting. But she'll never see me high, God willing, and this house is not filled with that. So
yeah,
I explained to her, I mean, another year or so, maybe when she turns 14, I want to bring her to one of these detoxes with me. I want her to see,
that'll be powerful,
the horror of it, because I mean, there is, the young is 18 years old, and like I said, I started getting high when I was 13, smoking pot, but
yeah,
getting high
still, right?
And she's 13 and she's going into high school, you know.
Yeah.
So what we have to do is feed our kids with self-esteem and just without being micromanaging, because kids have to be kids. you have to make them know that they're loved, and you have to, you definitely have to make them know that they they can talk to you and tell you anything they need to tell you.
Right, right. Be comfortable to be able to communicate with you.
Yeah, communication is essential. A lot of people, a lot of families are very close-mouthed and don't talk about your secrets.
Right. So, Ricky, we're really, really proud of you and happy for you getting into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And it's really a beautiful thing what you're doing with the clean-getaway.com program. And yeah. I definitely really encourage our listeners to back you in any way, shape, or form that they can, whether it's giving you guys a place to perform, putting up money to do that for you, throwing you guys on a tour, whatever it is that you guys can do that are listening to this fabulous story. We definitely are going to put information about Ricky on our site. And Ricky, do you have anything you'd like to say as a farewell to our humanitarian radio friends today?
Well, actually, if anybody's interested in jumping on board or has any ideas, first of all, so let me tell you my email is.
Good idea.
It's chaospro, KAYOSPRO, @AOL.com.
Great.
And if anybody has any ideas, like, for example, you know, we just put the website up. I got a call from somebody in the Midwest that says, hey, we're putting on a sober fest. What would it cost to get you guys down here? And, you know, they just started it, so the budget isn't for the entire band, but they want me to come mm-hmm. with my acoustic guitar, and it's in July, I think it was, if I'm not mistaken, and I would tell my sober story, and I would play for an hour, and I would play all these recovery songs, mm-hmm. and that's what I enjoy doing, so that's what we want to do, and we would love to come to L.A., and the deal is, like, I know people in L.A., I could bring some of the core band there, and you know, we could do a concert. You want to do a sober night, a drug prevention night in a club, or some, you know, a straight-up recovery festival kind of thing or something. We definitely need ideas, backing. I just told you where the way it works, how sponsorship pays for the expenses in the
right,
band.
Right, right.
All the money we make goes to sort of a kitty where we will be able to help people that have no insurance that desperately need to get into treatment.
Love it.
And that's really, I mean, that's the simplicity of it. That's what we're going to try. You know, we have to do the whole foundation thing, and there's all these nuts and bolts stuff of it.
Right.
Anybody, if there's like a lawyer out there that's sober that wants to help you put together a foundation on the cheap, that would be fabulous.
There you go.
You know, there's all of these, like, little
things. There's
a
lot of avenues that need, you know, I's dotted and T's crossed. We put on...
Well, we have the idea. We have what we want to do. We have the website. I have the musicians. And mm-hmm. my Rock Hall induction is going to give me really...
An extra boost.
A license to bother every famous musician I know.
Love it.
And, you know, we could really do some damage out there, man. We could put together a great rock and roll show for everybody. And we could help, and that's
the name of the game. That's the name of the game. Ricky Bird, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductee, my friend. We are so happy to have had you on our show today.
Thanks, darling.
Absolutely, absolutely. We'll reach out to you because we're doing some fundraisers through the radio show out in L.A., and we'll get you guys involved in what we're doing. And we will want to hear from you on what's going on after the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Why don't you give us a holler again and tell us how it was?
Absolutely.
Excellent, hon. Have a great, great day.
Right.
We'll talk to you again soon.
You too.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So every week, I like to dedicate a song to our guests, and this week it's going to be I Am the King of Me by Saint Tone. This goes out to Ricky because he's taking responsibility for himself and has risen to the occasion.
Do people know? Meditation and vibrant dreams. You are the king of you. To focus, win or lose. No judgment, what to choose. Touch your gut and follow through.
Hey, once again, that was King of Me by Saint Tone. If you want to find out more about Saint Tone, go to www.sainttone.com. That's SAINTTONE.com. We're going to take a very short break, and we're going to be right back with Chelsea Hill. Stay tuned.
This segment of the show, sponsored by Artistic Journey, where we help groups and organizations reach their fundraising goals by providing unique marketing products to showcase their events. Be sure to visit artisticjourney.com, where you can shop for over 750,000 items to put your logo on, all at wholesale pricing. Whether you're looking for some fresh ideas or just need a better price on the goods you currently purchase, let Artistic Journey's years of experience bring your events to a whole new level. Visit artisticjourney.com today.
Okay, and we're back with Chelsea Hill from Walk and Roll Foundation. Chelsea, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing really good. I'm so excited to have you on the show. You know, we got a chance to meet you briefly on a couple shows back when we were doing the Ascent Expo, and that's where we met you. And you had a booth right next to ours, and I got to see you guys perform, and I thought that was amazing. And I definitely wanted to have you on the show to just tell our listeners a little bit more about what you're doing and how you got started. So why don't you just give us a little background on who you are and how this whole thing came about.
Okay. I'm 23 years old, and when I was in high school, I was 17. It was my senior year of high school. And I was out at a party with friends drinking, and I had to go home, so I got in the car with a friend that was drinking, and unfortunately, we ended up hitting a tree head-on, and I snapped my back in half and became a paraplegic. A few months later, my dad and I started the Walk and Roll Foundation, something that he had brought up to me in the hospital about, you know, maybe you're supposed to start a nonprofit and help somebody in your shoes. And I remember tearing up thinking, like, wow, I can really help someone. And, you know, fast forward to a few months later, we started speaking all over California. A year later, we got our nonprofit status, and we haven't stopped. We have grown to three phases. We have our speaking program, where we have speakers that have to do with gun violence, bullying, and distracted driving, going into high schools and colleges and sharing their story. We have a wheelchair dance team, which you saw perform. And then we also do a lot of mentoring and outreach through our Provide section, and we have a lot of ambassadors and stuff like that.
I think I want to step back just a second. I think it's amazing what you've done and what you're doing, especially at such a young age, to take on that responsibility to say, hey, I'm in this situation, and how do I use it to empower myself and empower others? And I think that is very brave of you and just very honorable of you to do that, because you saw a situation to say, hey, I can take this situation and either have a pity party about it, or I can use it to empower others and empower myself. And the fact that you chose the latter, I think, is fantastic. So when you go into these high schools and stuff, I'm sure it must have a major impact on the kids that are listening to you, because you were their age when this accident happened, and I think that probably really speaks volumes to them.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, sharing my story to, especially like in high school, where the kids are the age that I was when I had to make that decision to get in the car or not, is something that I enjoy so much. I think it's one of the best healing things that I can do for myself is share my story.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that story speaks volumes, and the fact that you're out there doing that, just you must realize that every time that you give that speech and tell your story, you're changing people's lives. I'm sure you already know that, but you're changing their lives to really think twice before they take an action, and then to really help others not to make that same choice to say, hey, listen, if you're in this situation, don't get in the car. Call a parent. Yes, you were drinking underage, but do something to prevent yourself from getting into a possible accident that could happen like this. When I spoke to you last time, you were talking about how you were always a dancer, and how you didn't want to stop dancing. So let's talk about that a little bit, because your performance was amazing. I was so impressed by it. So just, I want our listeners to really know what you're doing.
I was a competitive dancer before I became paralyzed. I actually won Central California State Champ at a regional level, and then went on to, I was going to qualify for nationals, and then my accident happened, and you know, of course, it was very, very devastating. And I met a few people who were also in wheelchairs as well, and they were a few years, you know, were injured 10 years plus, and one of the girls had a wheelchair dance team, when I was like, oh my gosh, I can really dance again. And you know, of course, in the beginning it wasn't the same, but I started to feel that fire within me of dance. And I then had the courage to try out for an able-bodied dance team, and I made it, and I did a competition with them, and then I realized that, like, wow, you know, like, if I have to be in this wheelchair for a month or a year or 10 more years, then I'm going to make the best of it. So during that journey of the first 2 years I was injured, I met these amazing girls that were my age that had the same passion as I did, and they came to me and they're like, why don't you start a dance team? Like, I want to dance too. And I was like, all right, you know, I have a nonprofit. I want to give back. These girls are the same age. We get along. Why don't we just throw a dance show together? So I threw a dance show together. We flew all the girls out. And we practiced for an entire week, and at the end of that week, we had a dance show. It was crazy because it was so last minute, but after that one dance show, we just blew up. I mean, we were getting calls from different events. We were getting calls from, like, the Abilities Expos, and they wanted to fly us all around. And, I mean, I guess you could say I didn't really know what I was getting myself into, and I'm just so thankful for all of the girls because, you know, it's my dream has always been to dance, and they made that happen.
And you're continuing to dance, and I think what happens is you're inspiring so many people to just show them your courage to say, hey, listen, you know, it doesn't matter what life throws at you. If you have a dream and you have a passion to do something, you can achieve it no matter what the circumstances are. You're actually showing people that you can overcome so many different difficulties and still do what you are passionate about. I think that's just amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah, to me, the fact that you have this passion and you're like, nope, I'm going to keep on doing what I'm doing. I mean, I don't know why this is coming to me, but it's very similar to the drummer from Def Leppard. I'm not sure if you're familiar with who he is, but he lost his arm and he was a drummer. And here's a drummer. He's like, I've been a rock drummer for so many years and now I have one arm. And everyone's like, the band said to him, we're going to stick by you if you want to keep doing this. And he says, yeah, I'm going to figure out a way to keep playing drums. And he did. And, you know, he's still one of the best drummers out there because he said, I'm not going to let this limitation stop me. I'm a drummer and I'm going to continue being a drummer. And you're a dancer and you are going to continue to be a dancer. And I think that is so awesome.
Thank you.
Again, what do you have coming up? Because I know that we were talking a little bit that you have different events coming up. So tell us some things that you have coming up in the near future where people can actually see you perform.
Okay. Well, we have, we do a lot of outreach with Wheelchair Sports Camp. So we're going to be doing a dance class and a performance at the Triumph Foundation's annual Wheelchair Sports Camp, and that's in Santa Clarita, California. That's going to be April 25th. And then we actually do a monthly dance class where Rock and Roll Dance Team puts on a monthly dance class where anyone of all different abilities, whether you have a different ability or you don't, you can come out and learn a dance class, a dance from myself, who's in a wheelchair, and then also we have our dance coach, Melissa, who's not in a wheelchair, and she and I teach the class together. So that's April 26th out in Santa Monica.
Excellent, excellent. So now, if someone wants to get involved in your organization, let's say either they're in a wheelchair, or if they're if they're not in a wheelchair and they just want to help out, how do they get involved in helping you guys out?
Well, you can go to walkandrollfoundation.org and you can read more about us. You can also just email info@walkandrollfoundation.org and you can talk to us and see what you want to get involved with. If you want to become an ambassador, want to try out for the dance team, if you have a story that you want to share that you think high school and college students will really grasp onto, you can be a part of our speaking team. So there's a lot of different ways you can get involved. You just want to lend, you know, some volunteer time, you want to donate, or if you want to actually become part of one of our teams, we are more than happy. So yeah.
How many people do you have on your dance team right now?
Right now we have 9 girls and chairs on our dance team. We have a performance team of about 5 girls that do a lot of the performances that have been on the team for a while and that can get together more often than others to practice. All of our girls are based out of all over California. So we have one in San Francisco, one in Monterey, one in Sacramento, and then the rest are down in Southern California. We have one in Wisconsin. So we're kind of like spread out all over the place, which makes it a little bit harder to practice. But we do dance boot camps twice a year to get all the girls together, kind of get on the same page, and keep practicing.
Wow. Now, has anyone else taken this same approach? And like, is your goal to have dance squads across the country, or, you know, I'm just curious to see, like, where do you see yourself taking this? Obviously, you've done so much in the past number of years, but how much further do you want to take it? What is your vision for the future?
You know, a lot of people ask, like, you know, what's the next step? And I think right now, you know, the next step is really getting the foundation, like, super organized and get some grants put in and get some donations, because it's a lot of work running a nonprofit. And, you know, I'm a full-time volunteer with this nonprofit, and this is the rest of my life. Like, I want to be able to create a nonprofit where people come to, you know, for speakers. You know, my dad has really put a lot of work into this three-phase speaker program with the gun violence, the bullying, and the distracted driving. We want to be able a one-stop shop for high schools and colleges to get a speaker that they want. And, you know, with the dance team, I mean, I see in the next 3 to 5 years having the East Coast and the West Coast dance team, and just being able to, like, cover all of the United States and have all of them, like, traveling all over and, you know, pursuing their dreams. Because for me, I, you know, before my accident, I was into sports, but I always went back to dance. And, you know, a lot of girls or guys may not want to play sports in chairs. They may want to dance. So I want to be able to be that nonprofit that gives that to people. You know, there's so many amazing nonprofits out there that cover sports, wheelchair sports. But, you know, there really aren't a lot of dance ones. There's, you know, Axis and the San Diego one down here, and there are a lot, but we are more focused on hip-hop. And so, yeah, I just want to, I have a huge vision for this foundation, and I know it'll come true. It just takes time.
Yeah, well, absolutely, you know, and the fact that you, you know, I always say, if you know where you're going, and you have a goal in mind, it's that much easier to hit it, as opposed to just, you know, just flying by the seat of your pants going, like, I'm not sure which way we're going. But you seem to have a clear vision of where you want to go, and I think that's why you've been able to achieve as much as you have in such a short time, because it's really amazing. Again, I'm taken back, because people that are younger usually aren't as focused as you are. And so I'm extremely impressed by that you have such a strong vision. And I think what you're doing is just amazing work, because you're empowering so many people to really just follow their dreams. And I think that's the thing that's so encouraging to everyone that's that sees you and knows your story. I really am excited about seeing what happens in the future, and to have an East Coast and a West Coast, and you know, even possibly bring it up to a competition but the main focus of it is that you are following your dreams. You know, it's, you're making things still continue to happen. You're not just sitting back going, nope, that's it, I'm done.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely have refocused my entire life, especially the last year and a half, of, you know, I really only surround myself with people who are driven. And, you know, I am 23 years old, but I feel like I'm, you know, a lot older than I really am, because I have a vision and I have this drive. And, you know, if this accident happened to me, then this is my path now. And I am, you know, full force on it, and nothing's going to stop me from creating a life that I want to live. And, you know, whether I'm paralyzed or not, or say I get up tomorrow, I will still be doing what I'm doing today.
Yeah, no, I totally agree, and I wish you the best of luck with everything that you're doing. I really thank you for taking the time out to reach out to us and to let our listeners know what you're doing and what you're all about. Again, your website, just give it to them one more time before we move forward.
Yeah, it's walkandrollfoundation.org.
Right, and it's A-N-D. It's not the ampersand there. It's walkandrollfoundation.org. Definitely check them out. They're doing some really great things. Chelsea, thank you again for sharing your story, and I wish you the best of luck in the future.
Thank you so much.
What an amazing, inspirational girl. I'd like to dedicate the next song to Chelsea. It's called Reinvent Your Life by Saint Tone.
touch, walked away from a Hollywood dream. Came into this world, girl, like a butterfly. It's time to spread your wings and reinvent your life. She worked so hard to raise a son, gave him unconditional love, raised him up enough to leave the nest. Came into this world, girl, like a butterfly. At 45, it's time to reinvent your life. What are they gonna say? Those afraid to make a change. Chapter 3 has arrived. Time to reassess, time to reinvent. Reinvent your life. Reinvent your life. Oh,
once again, that was Reinvent Your Life by Saint Tone. If you want to check out more music, go to www.sainttone.com.
You know, if you're looking for a little spark on your any day, you can always go back to humanitarianradio.com and check out any of our previous shows. We do keep them on there so that we can inspire you to find some good news for your soul. Do something great for someone else in your world.
Yeah, and if you know of a story or if you know someone that should be on our show, by all means, connect with us on Facebook at Humanitarian Radio or go to our website, humanitarianradio.com, and reach out to us. Let us know any good news that you have out there that you want to share with the world.
Make it a good week.
We'll see you next time. Take
Bye-bye.
Care.
Humanitarian Radio, shouting out some good news for your soul.